This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Seven on an undercover. Episode 187, Undercard. We're rocking and rolling, everybody, through the 80s. Jimmy doesn't know what 187 means, but now
I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Shenanigans. No,
because it is not a code in Michigan, and I don't listen to rap music.
It doesn't matter. It's not just rap music.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. They named a GD television show Detroit 187, and every effing person knew what it meant.
Let me ask you this. Where is Detroit 187 now?
It's canceled.
Right, exactly. It got
it did
canceled
get a
after
a season or two. Though.
It got
canceled.
Half a season.
It got
half a season.
It doesn't matter. It didn't get canceled because nobody knew what 187 meant.
Yeah, that's exactly
People
why.
Started watching it because they knew what it meant.
No,
they stopped watching it because it was shit writing.
No, because it was wrong.
Yeah, the code.
The code was wrong.
The law enforcement Detroit, across the nation wouldn't embrace it.
What is the homicide code in Michigan, Jimmy?
I don't know.
Then I need you to shut the fuck up, all right?
I didn't know it anyway.
I don't know. I don't
but
know
here's
what it
you
is,
have to
but
understand.
I know it's not 187.
Here's what you have to understand. This is exactly why Jimmy did that, because he wanted to have this altercation and this back and forth, because that's what Jimmy does. You have to understand that. Jimmy lives to be obstreperous. That's what he is. That's what
Did
he
you
does.
Yourself
we
got to
go
word?
To our first
What's that?
Guest
Did
right
you hear
away,
yourself
though.
On that word?
On what word?
We got a lot of guests today. Let's
Do you
start.
Know what that word means?
No.
Oh, so you really don't know what much means.
Shut up.
Hello.
All right, we got to go to our first guest right away, though. We got a great show for everybody. We're going to start off with Mike Jimenez. He is fighting Aaron Pryor Jr. This is happening the 14th in the Chicagoland area of Hammond, Illinois. The Horseshoe. I've been to many events there, Bellator especially.
Indiana, isn't it?
Yeah, Indiana, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Indiana.
Just outside, 30 minutes with no traffic outside of Chicago, but sometimes hour and a half with traffic. But we're going to start off with Mike Jimenez.
Maybe. I know what you wanted.
Voicemail. Hello?
Hey, Mike. This is Brad. You're live on the undercard. How are you?
Who's this?
This is Brad. You're live on the undercard. And Anthony Barnes.
Oh, you're an hour ahead. I forgot about that.
Awesome.
Damn.
Awesome.
That time got me.
Are you able to talk?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
All right. Well, let's start off a little bit. You got a fight coming up against Aaron Pryor Jr. It's happening in 2 weeks. Tell us how training camp's going, how you're feeling. And you're fighting in the Chicagoland area of Hammond, Indiana. Tell us about this fight.
Yeah, man. I'm pumped. You know, I've been training hard for a few months now. I've been pushing it. I've had a lot of sparring partners, a lot of help, and my trainer just pushed me to do everything in my ability and their ability to be in the best position to win. And things are going great, man. I feel good, feel strong, feel, you know, good as ready for the fight.
Okay.
Awesome.
Anyways, just looking at you and AP there really quickly, you guys both have a common opponent in Jesse Hart. How much does that factor into your training, that you guys can both look at a common opponent and also not just have a common opponent, but was fought in the same year, I believe, of 2015? How much is that able to help you during a training camp, or do you just ignore it and go about your business?
A little bit, but not as much, you know. Like, Aaron and I are both different fighters. We're gonna approach Jesse Hart with different styles, and he's gonna approach us with different styles as well. And you know, like when I fought Jesse Hart, I was the aggressor the entire fight. You know, I was pushing him back, and then you know, when Jesse fought Aaron, you know, it was kind of the opposite. He was kind of being the aggressor towards Aaron, and Aaron was kind of fighting, going backwards a lot, and you know, giving up ground and stuff. But you know, like I said, you can't really judge too much on that because of the different styles, and we're just different fighters. You know, it doesn't really mix too well for you to kind of judge off of that. But you know, it is what it is. You can take a look at it and pick up a little thing here and there, but not too much.
Now, what kind of fight do you expect Aaron Pryor Jr. to do against you? He's obviously a seasoned fighter like you, comes in with a lot of fights. Is there anything that you expect typically from him that you're going to see come the 14th of this month?
I expect him to be at his best. You know, I'm expecting him to have a real good training camp, you know. So I had some grueling sparring sessions and just be as ready as possible. I expect him to come in there with a nice strong jab, coming in, using his length and being light on his feet and, you know, using his advantages to, you know, to the best of his ability. But I'm going against the best Aaron Pryor Jr. that I can. I'm not looking at any fights where, you know, he was slacking here or there. I'm looking at him being at his best, and that's what I'm going to expect on fight night, for him to be the best Aaron Pryor Jr. he can be.
So what's it like for you to, you know, fight home, you know, fight at home again at the Horseshoe? I know it's not Chicago, but it's, you know, it's only a half hour away. And, you know, is it a good – do you like fighting at home? Is it more pressure on you, especially with this fight being for a WBC title?
Yeah, you know, I like fighting at home. The Horseshoe Casino, it's not too far outside of Chicago. You know, it's maybe 20-25 minutes. But yeah, you know, it's a nice venue. It's kind of like my second home there. You know, the pressure is not too much when I go in the ring. I'm focused. You know, I'm not really in there listening to the crowd or seeing anybody out there. I'm just zoned in. I'm focusing on the opponent and the task at hand, and it's just me and the other guy in the ring, and everything outside of that is just blacked out. But yeah, you know, it's always nice to be at home and just have your friends and family and the rest of the city supporting you.
Now, you fought at U.S. Cellular Field once. I'm a huge Cubs fan. You got to do me a favor as you move up the ranks. Bring boxing back to Wrigley Field.
Man, that would be huge, dude. That would be huge. And the Cubs are red hot right now. The Sox are red hot too, but the Cubs are like. Everyone's looking at the Cubs right now, but yeah, you know, fighting at U.S. Cellular it was an awesome experience. But Wrigley Field, that'd be something else. That'd be one for the record books. That'd be a good story to tell that one day.
You got to do it, man. I want to see it. As long as I'm involved in boxing, I want to see boxing once at Wrigley Field. You're a hometown guy.
Yeah, man.
Have they ever
been to Yankee Stadium a couple times? I think they've done some other ballpark shows. You know, it's a possibility. We'll see. Maybe I can bring a big fight back to Wrigley Field one day.
Now, after the Derek Finley fight, first off, after he tested positive for Tylenol, I loved that you didn't...
Tylenol 3.
Tylenol 3.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wait a minute. You can't pop some acetaminophen?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Man just had a head cold, right?
I loved how you didn't use that as an excuse, but you also talked about how you had not been used to a pressure fighter. What have you done since that fight to... be used to in that face kind of competition? Was it just through sparring, or was it a little bit of different approach that you take to the way your style is?
Yeah, the night of the Derek Finley fight, you know, I definitely learned a few lessons in there. He kicked my butt a little bit, and he was a hard learned lesson. But you know, in hindsight, I kind of thank him for that because it helped me become a better fighter. I've worked on stuff like that, and I feel like I use it to my advantage in the gym, you know, and I can kind of bully guys around now. I can be a pressure fighter when I want to, and I can box the pressure fighters, and it's just Derek Finley is that's one hell of an opponent right there, man. Anyone looking to move up or see what kind of balls they got, they should step in there with that guy because he'll teach you a thing or two, and it's maybe a better fighter in the gym, and it's maybe a better fighter all around.
I got it.
Now, we're from Detroit, obviously, the undercard. In Detroit-Chicago, it's just a rivalry, whether it be the Bears, the Lions, the Pistons, the Bulls back in the day. Is there any rivalry between, like—
Don't forget the Hawks and the Red Wings.
Oh, yeah, the Hawks and the Red Wings, of course. Is there any rivalry between Chicago boxers and Detroit boxers? I know you guys all get along on the national scene through amateurs, but is there still that respect?
There might be, but as far as me and the guys, I mean, I've been in training camp there a couple times, and Anthony and I and a few other guys, you know, we all keep in touch. We're all good buddies and stuff. And there's no bad blood or any rivalries between any of us, you know. And I reached out to Anthony and a few other guys before about helping each other out as far as sparring or different training camps and stuff. But as far as some other guys, you know, maybe, I don't know. You know, even Donovan George, you know, he's gone up there with Adonis Stevenson, and, you know, there's a handful of guys, you know, and we kind of work hand in hand sometimes, but not in the rivalries that I know of.
Well, it's good because, like, you know, like I said, on a national level in boxing's a different thing, but I was just curious because the Detroit Chicago thing seems to transcend over every sport and stuff like that. What about you, Anthony?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Rivalries,
I mean,
with cities?
We might trash talk a little bit to each other, you know, about the other sports teams and stuff, but.
Yeah, I mean, beyond that, like, when it comes to boxing, it's not like that, you know. Like he was saying, it's kind of like he's like my cousin, you know, like from a different like a different state, you know, because like we all keep in contact, we see each other every once in a while, but you know, no rivalries, you know, we just help each other out when we can. So,
can you tell us, is there any prospects coming out of the Chicago amateur scene that we should possibly watch out for in the near future? We're really close with the Detroit scene. Obviously, Anthony Barnes is in the gym with a lot of people from Detroit. Is there any talent in Chicago that you just watch in the gym and you're like, man, this guy's going to be something special someday?
Yeah, Kenny Sims Jr., that kid's a well-known talent. He's a real good talent. You know, he's one of Manny Pacquiao's sparring partners for the Floyd Mayweather fight. Nick Mazurek, he's a heavyweight at our gym. He's got some real good moves. He's a real big kid, and he's young, and he's been at the national stage as well. And then, we got a handful of guys that are just, you know, kind of in that, like, mid-range where they're, like, on the cusp of, like, kind of becoming a decent prospect and still, like, building their way up. But yeah, we definitely got some guys out there that are going to make some noise sooner than later, hopefully.
All right, Mike, we want to thank you for joining us. Wish you the best of luck against Aaron Pryor Jr. He's going to be joining us on the show a little later. Is there anything you want us to relay to Aaron when we get a chance to talk to him?
Just tell him I said what's up, and he better be ready. May the best man win. It'll be a good fight come May 14th. And fight down on that mouth guard. It's going to be a good one.
Real quick, do you have a prediction?
Yeah, you guys have your
Do you have a prediction for your fight? Because I was actually on a couple websites, and they actually had a poll, and they actually had, you two versus each other. And it was 50-50. Even with, with you guys' experience, difference, win-loss ratios, everything. What's mm-hmm. your prediction for it?
Pain.
I'm taking myself as a winner. I don't see myself. You know, I don't want to sit here and say I'm going to knock the guy out, but I'm going to win. I don't care if it's by knockout, by decision, whatever it is. But I'm going to bring it to him, and I'm going to definitely be taking that victory, be taking that belt.
All right, perfect.
All right, thank you so much for joining us, Mike, and best of luck.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it, guys, and thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Mike Jimenez going to battle the 14th of this month at the Horseshoe in Hammond, Indiana.
Where is Hammond, Indiana?
It's right before you go into Illinois and start making your turn up to Chicago.
So it's like right at that little corner
There's like factories all around this. You know what I'm talking about. The factories all around this casino. And you know, I've been there for Bellator and boxing.
They host
and,
a lot of fights there.
Oh, right. And they consider it Chicagoland because it's still close to Chicago. I guess if you didn't hit traffic, you could make Chicago in 30 minutes. But with traffic, it's like hour and a half. But they literally consider that, and that's how Hammond, Indiana kind of advertise themselves. They're kind of the casinos to the Chicago area.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, not a bad facility,
anyone,
though.
Yeah, ask anyone. You're like, oh, I'm going to Chicago for the fight. It's like, oh, where are you staying? They're like, oh, actually, we're not staying in Chicago. Yeah. We're
staying at a Red Roof Inn on the Indiana Turnpike. Right.
We're staying in an abandoned warehouse down the road.
We got a crazy start to the show, but we do have to say that this show's brought to you by Salida Promotions, the Detroit Brawl. We are actually going to be giving away a couple tickets tonight. We'll figure out a way to do that after our Aaron Pryor interview, as Demetrius Banks will also be joining us to talk about his fights. I don't know. Is a big fight happening in boxing pretty soon? Big in the sense that they're two big names. But if Amir Khan doesn't come, I guess, prepared with a game plan, it could be an early night. Yeah. So what I decided, because I am so in love with the Canelo pick, I would say bet like a car on it, okay, by knockout. I had one of our fans come up with his own little take on the fight, and I was going to read that later. He's a boxing fan, Rick, who's joined our show many times. But I was just going to get an outside perspective of it, because I think people that I know are pretty strong on Canelo walking through Amir Khan. But Rick had a different kind of view on it. He thought maybe Amir Khan could give some problems about that. But we'll be talking about that also today. So it's a pretty good show, really boxing oriented. And so Demetrius Banks will be joining us. Like I said, we're going to go to our first break. And then on the other side, we're going to catch Aaron Pryor Jr., hear his response to what Mike Jimenez said about being ready. His dad, obviously famous, the Hawk, from Cincinnati, Ohio. Yep. I finally met him at when I met Broner, too, in Bootsy Collins, dude. I awesome got to tell person. You this story, dude.
Awesome.
Crazy
Bootsy
night,
Collins?
Dude. Bootsy Collins, man. Bootsy from D-Lite was there, too, dude. Cincinnati, was that? I think it was Cincinnati the fights were at.
From D-Lite.
Yeah, from D-Lite. He was famous before that.
He was not part of D-Lite. He was just on that song.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. But, yeah, so having to meet the Hawk, he was legendary. A lot of people's favorite fighters. Aaron, who listens to the show, the Hawk is one of his favorite fighters. Kind of never got the shot against the big names because he was so dangerous.
Yeah, no one wants to fight him.
No one wanted to fight him. So we'll talk about what it's like to have the legacy of his dad and fighting under it, too. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Listen to some 80s music. Episode 187. Jimmy, what's that mean?
I have no idea.
All right. See you on the flip side.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the Undercard, officially episode 187.
You cannot turn it on. That's fine.
We're going to be joined by Aaron Pryor Jr. here in less than 4 minutes. We are talking to Mike Jimenez. A little bit ago about his fight, the 14th of this month, happening at the Horseshoe in Hammond, Indiana. And so I'm going to pass over the number here to get Rochelle.
Oh, just tell her on air. It's fine.
To call.
Nah, what the heck was that? Oh, you were plugging in.
Yeah.
Whenever Jimmy
plugging into the Matrix.
Whenever Jimmy plugs his laptop in, I feel like my brain was shocked by something.
Also, I didn't get a chance to mention it with Mike, but this is for the vacant WBC Continental America's Super Middleweight title. So
that is quite a title.
It is a title.
Mouthful.
Yes,
just like Jimmy.
What?
What? Nothing. just saying, ladies. I'm trying to help you out, bro.
Hey, Aaron, this is Brad. You're live on the Undercard. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. We are being joined by Aaron Pryor Jr. from Cincinnati, Ohio. What do you think of your Reds, first off, before we even get into boxing? What do you think of your Reds this year?
I don't want to talk about the Reds. they're okay, you know. They're off and on. It's hard being a Reds fan. It really is.
Man, do the Cubs have their number this year, though? I mean, like, the Cubs
looks,
are like the kryptonite.
What it looks like. It very much looks like it so far.
All right. Well, we had your opponent from this coming couple weeks on just a few minutes ago, Mike Jimenez. He said he wants you to be ready. He wants the best Aaron Pryor that he can get. Tell us how your training camp's going, how you're feeling, and tell us a little bit about this fight.
Training camp is going very well. He definitely will get the best Aaron Pryor Jr. Training has been awesome. I have a new team of guys that I've been working with, so this is probably my second fight with these guys. So everything's been a you know how it is when you're first working with a group of people. So we have this is our second go around, and we've had a full camp.
Is there is there anyone you're actually working with that you want to mention to get ready for Mike? Like to match the style?
I have a nice group of guys here in Cincinnati. You know, we have some very good fighters down here in Cincinnati. And no one in particular, like, world champion guys that I've trained with before. Like, I've been in camps with, like, Adonis Stevens and Anthony Nareal. Then I've been in camp with a bunch of different fighters. But the guys that I've been working with are very good and have been preparing me very well for this fight. So, we're excited. My team's excited. We're excited to come up there and win this fight.
Now, we were talking about your previous fight in Las Vegas, me and Barnes off the air against Hart. And Barnes thought you gave Hart a lot of trouble. This is a common opponent that you and Mike have had. Talk to us a little bit about, does that even matter? Is it something you can look at? And tell us, like Anthony said, he thought you had some success against the Hart. Tell us what maybe happened in there that ended up in you losing that fight.
Jesse Hart was, I don't think Jesse Hart, skill-wise, he's not there, I don't believe. He just kind of outworked me there at the end, but he's a very, he's a strong guy. He's a strong guy. You know, he throws a lot of loopy punches as well, you know. And I thought, like, when he, I think I watched the fight when he fought Mike, and, he gave Mike a lot of problems. He stayed very, very busy on Mike, you know. Jesse was, he's a good up-and-coming fighter. I don't think he's the best. I had a bad night that night. I mean, normally, guys like that, I would have either walked through, I would have beat him. But I didn't have the best night that night, and sometimes it just happens like that in boxing.
All right.
We're definitely ready. You know, this is like my second fight with my team, my new team. So we're ready. We're excited about this fight with Mike.
Now tell us what problems you're going to give Mike that Mike hasn't seen before. I mean, you've obviously seen Mike fight a few times. There's enough video, enough stuff of him out there. What are you going to bring to the table that you think is going to give Mike a lot of problems?
I think that Mike has, anyone that fights me always has have a problem with my height and my length or whatnot. So I think that'll definitely give him a problem, just like it gives everyone else a problem. I'll just do my thing to be myself, and I think that'll be enough to just win me the fight. I think that'll just be enough to, especially after watching how he performed against Jesse. And Jesse's shorter than me, and he's a pretty long guy himself. So I think I just think my height and my reach and stuff, and my experience. I've been in there with a lot of guys. I've been in there with these last two fights I've had. These guys have been Olympian guys, and so I've just been in there with a lot of experience, guys. Now, I don't think that Mike has. You know, I have much respect to him. You know, he has a good record, and he's fought some guys or whatnot. So no disrespect to him at all. But I just think that my experience and all my training that I've been putting in to get ready for this fight is definitely going to get the win for me.
All right. I wanted to let you know that Sugar Hill's in the house here. So if you got to say hi to Sugar over here.
Sugar, what's going on?
AP, is that you?
You got to talk into the mic.
You got to talk into the mic.
Is that you, AP?
Yeah, Shake, what's going on?
Nothing much. I hear you got a fight coming up, huh?
Hello?
You got a fight coming up, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
Okay. You getting some good training down there?
I am. I'm getting some good training, yeah. I'm getting it in. Been doing pretty good.
me and Sugar have a long history. I started out with Sugar Hill. He's my first coach as a professional. So I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, so who are you working with down there? Not to give away any secrets. I said, not to give away any secrets. Who are you working with down there? You know I want to know.
Well, I'll tell you one person. It hasn't been Showstopper. But a couple guys has been down here. Tommy, I don't know if you heard it. Tommy Harris has a son.
His son, yep, I know
who
he is.
I've been working with him. But he's a decent fighter. He fights, I think, 160. A couple of our national amateur champions I've been working with a little bit. I've been working with a couple of local pros that's been coming from Atlanta and stuff that's been coming up to work with. So we've been getting boxing in the best that we can down here. So it's been pretty good. They've been giving me the rounds that I need.
The best that we can. I heard you mention that statement right there. That didn't sound too good for me. You said the best as you can. You know where the real work is at, AP. You come on up here and get some work up in Detroit.
I know there's
got Anthony work. Barnes up there. Barnes would love to give you some work.
Hey, that's my man. He's got me ready for plenty of fights.
You know what I like about this fight, AP, is that it's two Midwest guys, and it's happening in the Midwest region. I mean, a lot of pride there, man. You know, it's a neutral state in Indiana. Both you guys are from the states that surround it. I mean, is it a little bit, give it a little bit more gas because it is being fought in Midwest?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, I think the, you know, Midwest fighters are the best fighters, I believe. I mean, I really believe that in this country. So, yeah, it's like, of course. I mean, it's a close fight for me, so I definitely get on by family and stuff and support you to come to the fight as well. So, but yeah, it's exciting.
All right. Well, we want to wish you the best of luck. It's coming up in 2 weeks. You on weight? Everything looking good?
Everything is good. We'll be ready to go next week.
Indiana should be a good show for you, Aaron. You had a good sensational knockout in Indiana a long time ago.
I did. Yes, we did. And we'll get another one.
All right. Thank you so much, Aaron. Enjoy the rest of your evening. That is Aaron Pryor Jr. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right. Happening on the 14th. Tickets are available at hitsboxing.com. Hits throws good shows out there. It's actually, you know, we got boxing happening in the same weekend, but I'd definitely check it out.
I just hope that the fight is a little like they were like the most cordial fighters like to each other. Like you like went right at him like, what do you got to say? And he's like, well, he's a good fighter, and I'm sure he's like, normally we get that trash talk. You know?
You know what? Back me up here though, Barnes and Hill, with those type fighters, right? Like Mike and Aaron, and we're talking people that have a little bit more than 15 fights. Sometimes. Because you understand the game a little bit, you don't get into the trash talking. I mean, Barnes is smirking over there, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they have experience. You know what I mean? I mean, like, AP's been in there with, you know, Adonis and stuff like that. So you have, like, you fought a world champion, you know, and a lot of big punchers and, you know, and held their own, you know what I mean? So, and like Mike, he went out to Australia. He won his. He won a title out there, like a small title out there. So, I mean, they've been around. They kind of, you know, they've been around the game. So, I'm sure they're not really, like, you know, overly nervous or anything like that. So, they're just ready to go.
Sugar, you want to give a prediction to that fight?
Both these guys are just about business. They're not any SHIT talkers.
Mm-hmm.
They just come to do their job and to win.
I know there was going to be a damn spelling bee, Sugar.
Oh, so what? I could say that? Okay. No, but they don't talk trash. These guys, I know both of them very well. Aaron Pryor Jr., like you said, he started off professional with me at Kronk. Mm-hmm. And Mike Jimenez, he's been here plenty of times for training camps. Being from Chicago, him and Donovan George been up here lots of times. We all played softball together on the Kronk softball team back in the days. And, you know, both guys are good. We've all been in the gym together at the same time. So it's not going to be any trash talk with these guys. You know, these guys going out there to get a win.
Cool.
Way to skate around the question, though. A prediction. Who do you like?
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, I didn't hear a prediction. Nobody really addressed me formally with
sugar.
That question.
Actually,
right. Just
actually, I believe the direct quote was, "Hey, Sugar, do you want to make a prediction on this fight?"
Sugar Hill,
and he's like, "Oh, you know, they're both all
Sugar
about
Hill
the business.
Of the Kronk Gym, sitting in the studio, two Brad's left."
I'm gonna say with this fight, I don't have a prediction. I know both guys, and it's gonna be just sitting on the edge of your seat, kind of a fight.
Would you care to flip a coin?
This is definitely one of those fights, though, that like you don't really want to see either one win or lose because, you know, like personally, like, you know, I go way back with AP, you know, like he's been around for a long time. We've been through training camps. My roommate, we hung out a ton, you know, and then Mike, you know, he's been in training camp. We've been around. He's just a buddy. So it's one of those things that, you know, makes the fight interesting because you know the both their styles and how they clash. But
that's really the fight I sit back with a nice beer and a nice double shot of something and just watch.
That's it.
And just be a fan. Nice.
Really? Be a fan.
No, yeah. I mean, that's awesome. What about age difference? You think that's going to matter? Mike being about 10 years is younger, I believe.
No, because I think AP has more experience, but then, you know, Mike's the younger guy. So, I mean, you know, have age for him and experience for the other. So.
What is the age? Age is nothing but a number.
Right.
Don Stevenson.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Don's 38, correct?
Yeah.
Old man.
But I didn't know there was a big age difference between Aaron Pryor Jr. and Mike Jimenez.
I believe there is. I'd have to double check. I believe Pryor is probably
not
about
over
38.
10 years.
I think it's 10 years. I think it's 38 and he's probably
Mike's
28.
28? Mike's older than that.
I thought he's 28. He started late. He started when he was
28. No, Mike's 28 and AP is 37.
See? Okay.
There you go.
Aaron Pryor.
So I'm looking at Aaron Pryor's record. It says he fought, like, he had five fights here in Michigan. One of them was at the Fisher Building.
Yeah, he fought at Super Bowl time.
Yeah, but that fight at the Fisher Building was a taxi, tried to take his money. And
Brad?
What? I don't know what happened. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just asking. He had a fight at the Fisher Building. Where did they have boxing?
That was during the Super Bowl when we had the Super Bowl here.
Super Bowl weekend.
We had a super party, a super fight.
Like everything.
Yeah, but where in the Fisher Building?
It was in the hallway.
Yeah, it was in the lobby. I was there.
Just in the lobby.
Yeah, seats. Yeah. It's big and beautiful.
That's awesome.
Seats up top. The Blue Horizon kind of like a thing?
Yeah.
But, that was actually my first Kronk event.
They need to do that more.
I was on the team, but I was there.
That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
I would have just assumed that it was like done on the stage, like they do at the
theaters.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
There might have been something going on in the theater.
It was like gangs in New York. I mean, they fought out on the bar.
Yeah, it was Super Bowl weekend. It was February 2nd, 2006.
Yeah.
But I was looking. He's fought at Burt's. He's fought at Joe at the Palace. Well, Fisher.
Sugar Joe City used to be in his corner, so there's going to be some Michigan fights there.
I was looking for that Indiana knockout.
For me, training Aaron Pryor Jr. was kind of a special thing for me because my uncle trained Aaron Pryor Sr. So it was like the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle worked with him, and then I worked with the son, the same with Thomas Hearns, and I worked with Ronald Hearns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just that next generation step.
And Sugar, you can add some insight to this because coming from the Kronk family and with your uncle doing that, everybody always makes the misconception that everybody wanted to fight everyone back in the day, but no one wanted to fight Aaron Pryor Sr. because, I mean, he was dangerous. There's a lot of people that sidestepped him, if you look at history, to not go against the Hawk. I mean,
you don't have to convince me. I know.
I mean,
nobody wanted to fight him. And they'll tell you they didn't want to fight him. They say he was a bad mother, you know.
What?
I didn't spell nothing. He's just a bad mother.
What?
Aaron Pryor was crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean crazy in a sense like that, but he was a crazy fighter in the ring. He had a very unconventional style, but he knew a lot of his basics.
Mm-hmm.
He would get hit hard, and that drove him. I mean, he was just that kind of crazy person. His training, the way he trained hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that's a throwback, you know, to the fighters, the way they train now.
Mm-hmm.
They hit the mitts and hit the bag and stuff like that, but they're not hitting it with that kind of intensity like how Aaron Pryor would do. That he got up off of that.
Mm.
That made him go.
He was
crazy like that, you know, and that's in a good sense.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that everybody wants to say to me because, you know, a prime example, people think Canelo's ducking Golovkin, maybe they're not. But then their next response is that, well, fighters used to not duck fighters, and they're going back to Hearns, Hagler, Leonard, and everything like that. But Aaron Pryor's the number one example. People didn't want to mess with him.
Yeah, but Golovkin and Canelo is not even in the same weight class.
No, they are. Pretty well. I guess, you know, there's a Canelo weight class.
What do you walk around at?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's not even a match I would want to see because I know Golovkin is just too big for him. Too big and strong for him. I mean, Triple G's on his – he's been 160 for some time, and, you know, he could easily move up to 168 and become a force.
But he also said he could go down to 54.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like Chad Dawson said, he can go down to 68, Chad Dawson. It's a difference between going down to 54 and walking around and winning and actually competing on a competitive level like a gladiator. I just had to say that because I like the movie.
Very good point.
187 episodes, I still leave my phone on.
That's awesome.
Accidentally. So let's move over to talking, speaking of somebody that might be too big for an opponent, Canelo is fighting Amir Khan. Khan is moving up into territory in which could be really dangerous for him because Canelo's comfortable fighting at 155. Khan with maybe a questionable chin because he's been knocked out. Where do you see this fight going? I mean, does Canelo just walk? Is there any game plan Amir Khan can keep Canelo away from him?
From my knowledge and insight, moving forth and discussing the situation, I think that both fighters are very talented fighters. The only hang-up I see is with Amir Khan, as him being such a fast-handed fighter. To me, he never really sets punches up. He never sets up a big punch. He throws a lot of fast punches, but he doesn't really set these punches up that they for them to make sense to catch somebody clean. Prime example is when he fought Danny Garcia. He's jumping in. He's winning the fight. He's throwing combinations. But he's throwing the same thing. He's not really thinking of, okay, I'm going to do this. And Danny almost pretty much could have just, you know, closed his eyes and threw the punch because he knew that Amir Khan was going to throw four or five punches and then get out. I mean,
he was too predictable.
So, I mean, it goes along with thinking and setting up punches. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just go in there, punch, jump out. Punch. I mean, it's not too hard to figure out after so long.
So you're going to predict Canelo with knockout here or what?
Well, I've learned so much in commentating and predicting fights. And, you know, I think it's just going to be an interesting fight because of the speed. I think Khan been with Virgil Hunter, he's learned a lot. And at that point, you know, Virgil is one of those coaches that teaches, and he's able to teach Amir Khan different things, and that's one of the things that he's been working on is Amir Khan setting up punches. So it'd be a very interesting fight. I can't say who would win. I do know Canelo has improved since he's fought Mayweather and up his career, and I just think it'd be an interesting fight. It's one of those that once again, what did I say earlier? I'm going to drink a beer and have me a double shot.
Yeah, just be a fan.
But I think this one I probably have a double shot.
Quadruple shot.
Bloody Elbow reported 8 hours ago, too. I wanted to talk about this. I mean, you guys are going to like this because you're in the sport because of also is your guys' living. Amir Khan's going to report $13 million for his HBO pay-per-view.
Yes.
That's freaking phenomenal.
I'd take Look. Two bloody elbows for that.
That's huge. I mean, that is an unbelievable payday.
Khan's getting $6 million, but with no pay-per-view sales.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
Wanted to fight. Everybody had the question and the answer, I'll fight Mike Tyson. I could get knocked out for like $10 million.
Right.
I mean, when you're dealing with these kind of superstars, I mean, these guys are making... good payday. It's who you fight. You're going to make a good payday.
Here's a good
trivia question. The problem with that though is that you can get the $10 million, but you can spend like $8 million of it on hospital and rehabilitation.
No, you don't get rehabilitated. Just live.
Let's see if you guys can guess the last British boxer to make that more than that amount of money.
British boxer?
Yeah.
British boxer to make that one? Ricky Hatton?
Gotti?
That's his favorite fighter.
Used to be. I liked him.
Who did Tom Cruise play in Far and Away? What was it?
British fighter.
He made $15
million. Winston Churchill?
In 2011.
Lennox Lewis.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was about to say Lennox.
No, no, it was actually David Haye versus Klitschko back in 2011. Pocketed $15 million for the eventual loss to Klitschko.
Oh, I thought you were dated back.
Is that really losing?
Is that right? Really,
yeah, like 15 really to lose. Losing? What would he? What would he have gotten if he won?
15.
And
another fight. Another
and that
big
doesn't.
Fight.
See, and that is always like.
And wonder, another big fight.
Maybe I'm just lazy by nature, but I'm like, I get paid the same if I win or lose.
Listen,
like,
he would have won. He would have got 15
just,
for winning.
Can I just go in and lay down in the ring then and pay me
15 for losing, and then let's get a rematch.
Yeah.
That's when you
and
get
that's
the bonus.
Another 15. You
yeah.
know,
nah, that's
or
a
more.
Bit more.
Yeah, if I say more.
That's when you hit the lotto.
Let's talk about
the lotto twice.
Let's talk about this catch weight thing because this is a big issue with Canelo with Sugar here. He likes to fight 155. He's defending a 160 belt. How big of a deal is this? The other misconception is that there wasn't catch weight, so there's always been catch weights. I mean, he's obviously hidden. Yeah, he's obviously going to have to eventually move up to 160. But is it a big deal that I mean, if people are agreeing to fight him at 155?
That's all that matters. They're agreeing to fight him at 160 at 155. That's what matters.
And
I
so,
mean, it favors him more so because he's not really a true 160 pounder. Whether he walks around at 180 pounds or not, he's not a true 160 pounder fighter. He doesn't have the physical strength for 160 pounds. Those are big guys. I mean, and they hold their weight and their strength strong. It's a bigger advantage for him to have these guys come down and fight him. Because now they are weaker. You know, he can build his strength up, but maybe not to 160. But these guys, they're going to lose a lot of strength and a lot of stamina and things like that, you know, fighting at 155.
With that being said, do you think it might be easier for Khan to maybe get a win? Because he's not losing weight. If anything, he's like gaining weight or maintaining.
Yeah, and what's that going to do to his speed, Sugar? What do you think?
I don't think it's going to bother his speed. I mean, he's growing into his weight as he gets older. It shouldn't bother him. It's just the point that I made earlier where he has to think. You know, he has to be able to think in there and fight and not just throw punches.
This is a huge stepping stone for Canelo still because this is a pay-per-view that could get a lot of numbers, both very popular with the respected countries. What do you think numbers are going to be? Just estimate. Are they going to be in Mayweather realm, like in the top five fights of all time?
Negative.
Negative, not going to be top five?
You don't got two top fighters like that. No. Canelo's not that Empire Strike Back fighter, and Amir Khan certainly is that Battlestar Galactica kind of fighter.
Yeah. I like
good, Adam. Good. I just
I have
that
nerd
out
I've never heard analogies
on point
like that
today, dude.
Like nerds' ears perked up. What?
Well, I was like, he finally said some shit that I can understand.
Sugar comes back from Atlantic City. There must have been a Comic Con going on there too.
I relate to all audiences.
Yeah, well, by the way, congratulations! Atlantic City was successful for you. Anthony Durrell looked amazing. Went in there, took care of business. You get paid the same amount of money.
Anthony well Barnes was there too. Yeah.
I was so geeked. I was like a little kid. I was so excited.
But successful. I mean, you get paid the same amount of money. Were you happy with that?
I was very happy because I never said anything the whole fight. That's the best kind of fight.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there. Didn't say anything.
With a beer and a double
Boom.
Shot or something?
No. But I just
he
sat
just
there
had
and the
beer.
Fight was over. I actually asked Anthony and a couple of people, and I said, wow, I said, did Caleb even throw any punches at him? I don't remember him throwing any punches. Maybe he threw like a jab, but like a punch, that a meaningful punch.
He threw a right hand, and actually Anthony pulled back and missed right before he got caught the first time.
Yeah.
So,
and for
it.
Me, that fight was it was a good fight because, you know, I warm people up differently in the locker room, so I don't do a whole bunch of pop 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 pop. But Anthony was ready in the locker room, so I didn't warm him up that much. I actually had to tell him to sit down. Locker room was hot. He was in there. His brother Andre was in there, and I just told Anthony. I said, throw the jab, you know, over the left eye, and. He didn't know what he did. After the fight, he was like, oh, look, I threw it over the left eye. I didn't even throw it hard. You don't have to throw that shot hard because the other opponent doesn't see it coming. You position the jab over his left eye. He never sees the right hand coming, and boom. He looked like Joe Frazier, and it was at George Foreman when he jumped in the air. Yeah, it was similar to that, and he finished him off. And he had good balance. So the things that we've been working on, the things that Anthony Barnes saw and those are the best fights. Same way with Adonis Stevenson. Any kind of first round knockout, you don't have to teach and talk. All the work was done in the gym.
Thank you. Good night.
Now, being a trainer, this is a question because I like to give the boxing fans out there a little bit of an inside perspective. Well, typically, after a win like that, what do you want your fighter to do? Just take some time off?
Fight again.
Fight again right away?
They don't do anything.
Well, I know that, but there is no fight lined up. So what would you do? Would you encourage him to take fight a couple again. Weeks off?
No. I'm
you want him back in the again. Gym right
fight.
Away.
Yeah, fight again. He can fight again right away. Just think about the old days. Ray Robinson, those guys.
I totally understand it, but if
I'm
a fight doesn't...
guy. he should fight again. I actually told him after the fight, I said, man, I said, why don't you just say I'm catching a fight to D.C. I'm going to fight to whoever's next.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do anything. He could have fought DeGal. He could have fought Boutte. He could have fought Badu, and he could have fought, I don't hate to mention his name, but the other guy. The Spanish guy, the Latin guy, who I thought really won the fight.
Everybody's looking like, huh?
Everyone's looking at me.
I got to go to the computer.
He'll tell us after the break. I have trouble pronouncing his name, too. But
yeah, you're talking. Yeah.
He fought DeGal, but yeah. I thought he fought an excellent fight.
Uh-huh.
And, he fought very well. But yeah, he should be fighting again. When you get a win like that, there's no time to sit back and celebrate and take a long time off. You need to fight again. You didn't do anything. You're still in shape. Take a week off. Let's get right back in the gym.
Quick turnaround, yeah.
And then Anthony's in a good position here. He should get a good couple offers. He admitted that his one loss was a bad performance by him. So I mean, he typically now is looked upon as one of the up-and-comers now, once again in the division. I mean, there's a lot of people out there for him.
I think all boxing fans know that was like a fluke. You know, he had an off night. You know, something went wrong.
It was also in Indiana, wasn't it?
It was in Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
I'm here to say it wasn't a fluke, okay? He lost the fight.
I don't like to believe
simple
that.
Simple as that. You know, if something doesn't go right, I mean, that's the sport. You have to know how to make it go right. That's what you spend all these years of experience in amateur boxing. I mean, you have a bad day. You can't just say I had a bad day and think it's okay. You know, and Anthony doesn't think it's okay. A lot of times these fighters, I mean, you fight with – you in the gym. Barnes, for instance.
Yeah.
My stomach's hurting or something.
Mm-hmm.
I got a small headache. Okay, so don't get hit then. Duh.
Yeah, he said that multiple times to me.
Duh.
So yes.
I've been in there boxing. I got a headache. But I got a box. What am I going to say? Oh, coach, I got a headache today. It's not a bad headache. Like, it's life-threatening. It's just a little headache. Like, I just don't feel well. Go in there with an attitude like, you know what? Fuck it. I ain't going to get hit then.
We're going to come back after the break, talk more boxing. It is time for Jimmy's.
I get a headache. I'm going home.
That was an intense end right there.
I know. Dude, Sugar's on fire, man. You came back from Atlantic City. You really talk. I like this. You're going to lay down some law, some rules.
I am the law.
All right.
On to What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. I have no idea if the. Yeah, I know. I don't know why it never works. I have no idea why it never works. All right. So, moving on to start with boxing. We have May 6th at Las Vegas, Estrella TV. Marvin Quintero versus Peter Petrov, 10 rounds for the lightweights at Aachenberg, Russia. Dmitry Miklianko versus Charles Manyuki, 12 rounds for the welterweights. Las Vegas, May 7th, Las Vegas, HBO pay-per-view. Canelo Alvarez versus Amir Khan, 12 rounds for Alvarez's WBC middleweight title. Manchester, England, AWE, Anthony Carolla versus Ismael Barroso, 12 rounds for Carolla's WBA lightweight title. Hamburg, Germany, AWE, Kubrat Pulev versus Derek Chisora, 12 rounds IBF heavyweight eliminator and for the vacant European heavyweight title. At Windhoek, Namibia, Moses Flores versus Paulus Mbunda, 12 rounds for Flores's WBA interim junior featherweight title. In Tokyo, Takashi Miura versus Yonel Gadapan, 12 rounds in the lightweights. May 8th, Lakeland, Florida, Bounce TV, Kanat Islam versus Juan D. Angel, 10 rounds for the junior middleweights. And Tokyo, Naora Inoue versus David Carmona. 12 rounds for Inoue's WBO junior weight bantamweight title. And Akira Yagagashi versus Martin Takopitla. 12 rounds for Yagagashi's WPF junior flyweight title. Moving on to MMA, May 4th, FFC 20. Fusion
May the 4th
Fighting,
be with you.
Yes. Fusion Fighting Championship 20 in Lima, Peru. AFC Aspira Fighting Championship 37 in Peru. May 6th, ONE Championship 41, Ascent to Power in Singapore. ACB 35 in memory of Gurarum, not even going to try to pronounce it, in Georgia, in Russia. FCOC, Fight Club OC, in Irvine, California, United States. May 6th, First Round Combat in Brazil. May 7th, HBO Boxing. They want you to know it's Canelo versus Khan again. May 7th, Shamrock FC, Extreme Fighting 7 in St. Louis, Missouri. WFC 17, Emmett versus Alvarez in Sacramento, California. May 7th, MFE Mixed Fight Events in Spain. NVO Fight Night in Poland. May 7th, UFN Urban Fight Night 7 in Australia. May 7th, FSFC Only the Best in South Africa. GCF Gladiator Combat Fight 20 in Brazil. HOF Resurrection Day. In Hollandale Beach, Florida. V3F, Hall versus Sanderson in Tunisia, Mississippi. TFE, Risen in Sullivan, Indiana, United States. BFL, Broken Bones in British Columbia, Canada. Invicta, FC 17, Envinger versus Schneider in Costa Mesa, California. May 8th, UFC Fight Night 87, Overeem versus Arlovski in the Netherlands. And May 9th, Combat Americans Road to the Championship 5. And once again, that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. And we're going to go to a break, and we will be right back.
After a successful tour of duty in Old Detroit.
This is a previously recorded episode.
There we go.
There we go. We are. Should I re-announce it again? Welcome back to episode 187. We're waiting for Demetrius Banks to get back into the studio.
All right, cut. All right, Brad, take it back. We're gonna do that one more time.
Do you want more dinero? What do you want?
Well, more dinero would be good. Can you give me a dinero impression?
Yes. There we go, dude.
Do walk in.
So Rick. Who listens to the show all the time, our good friend Rick Pratt, he decided to give a little bit of a Canelo vs. Khan analyst, a pre-fight overview, is if you will have it. So I was just going to read the highlights of this pre-fight overview because we want to keep the undercard very fan-friendly. Mm-hmm. So he says that, "I think the power and the tenacity of Canelo Alvarez will overcome anything that Khan has to offer up. Saul is a smart tactical fighter. Khan surely doesn't have KO power, and Canelo has sufficient defense to overcome any speed or smarts Khan said he would use to do to beat Canelo that he may possess. Canelo went the distance with Cotto, Lara, Mayweather, his only loss, Austin Trout, Mosley, and Hatton. No way Khan is going to KO him as the fight gets into the late stages. Even if it does, Khan will be completely worn out and beat up and subject to KO, and Alvarez will be scoring at will. Khan has gone the distance with some notable competition, but not comparable to Alvarez. He did talk catch weight, which we already hit upon, so we'll skip over that. But he did say that I'll give Khan the benefit of the doubt with his speed and say he'll make it go at least the eighth round, Canelo by late round KO, and that's his prediction. We always do predictions here, though, so let's go.
Pretty long winded too.
I know, dude. But you know what?
That was short for Rick. That was actually.
I'm getting in better shape because I actually didn't have to take many breaths through it. It was pretty good. I'm getting there. We're getting around to it. I'm going to go Canelo. Shit. I'm going to go Canelo in 4. I really do. I think so I really do. Canelo in four.
Why would you go like in four? Why wouldn't you just say I go with Canelo? Like, you're going to just narrow it down to four. Like, you're just bossing like that.
I'm bossing right now, man.
Yeah, like
because four. Rochelle knows I'm on point. As of now, my predictions are ridiculous right now. But, I mean, the pick is Canelo. But I really think
his predictions only to be matched by his humility.
I think Canelo's speed. We talked about it with Tony Harrison a little bit. He didn't really think it was speed as much as experience. I think his speed has improved. I know the power's there. I bet you it's something Khan hasn't felt. Four.
So can I just like hit the reverse button?
Yeah, let's do it.
So if your predictions are so, what'd you call them?
They're on boss right now. They're boss right boss. Now. You said
so
boss.
So what was your prediction with Anthony Durrell's fight?
I did not make a prediction. I did not make a prediction.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Let's skip back. He's like, I see how it is. I see how it is.
No,
he said, like, we were watching and he was like, he does look really good. And then it was over.
Wow, you're going to go with that?
Hey, I watched a fight. It was, what, first round, minute and 43, something like that?
Look at you're go awesome.
Like, oh, he looks really good. I'm going to go with that. That was his prediction. He's boss still.
I know.
See, I told you.
That's why I love him.
Like a boss.
I told you.
No, he makes predictions like a boss.
I did not make any predictions like
that. Which is to say, lets all the work get done and then comes in and takes the credit.
Brad's scared of jinxing people we know, so that's what it is.
But let me ask you another question. You say he looks really good and then he got the knockout?
Yeah.
What? Did he say a name who looks good, or did he say he looks really good?
Wait, I knew who we were watching.
Wait, whoa, because I worked in the court. So now listen, he could have been, there were two guys in there. He looks really good.
I know who Anthony Durrell is.
I think he was.
But did he say Anthony
Durrell?
That's
who he was referring to because the other one obviously didn't look good.
Did he say Anthony
Durrell? Your Honor. It was assumed. Exactly it was assumed that about. The person who was actually throwing the punches
no.
was the guy that he was referring to.
Don't try and turn this around on me. Like I don't know what I'm talking about.
The court does not assume. There can be no assumptions. We need actual proof.
Thank you.
Hearsay.
What is the phone number?
The proof was in the knockout.
We have a couple tickets right now.
That is not.
We're gonna throw out a number here and give away a couple tickets to the Detroit Brawl.
I'm actually saying that Canelo's going to do it in three.
I would say no. that.
And what is
I
your
think,
reasoning?
I think hold it's on. Hold on. But wait. Yeah, I don't
you're not
get
give
the,
him hell for that. He's going one more.
No, and I'll go and I'll tell you why.
No,
he's not you.
Forget the number.
No, all right. Give Jimmy why.
Okay, three. First round, Canelo figures out Khan.
What? First round,
Canelo figures out Khan because like Sugar said, Khan's kind of predictable. Second round, Canelo uses that to do some damage. Third round is when he knocks him out.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Right. You're talking about a lot of drinking that night, Dan, because this fight going to be over. It's time to party.
I'm all about the party. Demetrius Banks is going to be in the house in like less than 10 seconds.
Do you want this phone number or no?
No, we're not. No, don't,
yeah, let's
no,
get,
no, we don't want people calling in because many people listen on their phone. So they can't then call us in. They should tweet us with their prediction of Canelo.
All right.
Who's on Twitter?
You gotta have two phones.
Who's on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter.
Okay. All right. First person to tweet their prediction to @UndercardRadio1.
Whatever
is that correct?
Our Twitter is.
Yeah.
All right. First person to tweet their prediction for the fight @UndercardRadio1 will win two tickets to the Detroit Brawl. And then send your info to our Twitter.
At the Masonic.
On the 14th.
And if you don't win, tickets Sugar are available.
Rick won already, right?
Who?
Rick won, right? He won. He gave his prediction already.
No.
No, because he didn't tweet
but, I mean,
that.
So but he if just, he wants to tweet he it, he would
copy
win.
Copy and send it, huh?
Yeah.
If he wants to tweet it, he can win. And yeah, message us and we'll get those out to you.
Tweet.
Tweet us.
What the hell are you doing back there, Bailey? I feel like I'm about to be arrested. I'm going to be pinched or something back there.
She's going to assassinate you like Abraham
Lincoln. She's like hiding behind the curtain and shit. She is. She's like John Wilkes Booth.
He don't like you back there fidgeting. Don't be fidgeting behind
can
him.
Can I give you hell for not giving me the break that we were talking about on the break?
What break? We didn't get a break.
We didn't take. What are you talking about?
The stuff you were showing me. Can we talk about that on air? I mean, it's all over national media now.
Not really, but you can if you want to. It's up to you. I didn't authorize the first time.
Either one.
Well, is that a yes or is that a no?
Demetrius Banks is in the house.
Demetrius Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Right up close. there.
Undefeated Detroit fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Cruiserweight.
He smells good, too.
Smash good. King, amateur, crunk, all of that.
We are joined by undefeated fighter Demetrius Banks.
Rochelle gets this. She really gets, she cuts through all the BS and gets, like, what are you walking around at? What are you, you smell wonderful. What's that cologne you're wearing?
Hey, that's what the people want to know.
He's fighting Saturday, May 14th.
He just fixed the plumbing problem, so he's going to be doing real good.
I am a plumber.
He's fighting Saturday, May 14th.
Laying some pipe, that's for sure.
At the Masonic Temple, tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, great.
Good. Thanks for joining us. I know Anthony had to chase you down and make sure you were coming.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'll just hit the side of the table. You're right. He does smell amazing.
You smell good.
Oh, yeah. Proud of
him. We've covered that. So you're the main event of this Detroit Brawl, which is now a series that Demetrius brought.
Yes, sir.
How excited are you?
I'm excited. I'm very excited about the opportunity. I'm just, you know, ready to go out and impress the people and make it happen.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Demetri here. I'm not Demetri. Demetrius Sugar. Tell us a little bit about him. Give us the trainer background.
Well, I've been knowing and working with Demetri since he was a baby. And people probably wouldn't realize that he was a baby at one point in his life because he's got a big head. I just had to throw that out there.
No problem.
So, Demetri's a good fighter. We went to nationals together, regionals. He's won all that stuff. And now he's getting the opportunity to be showcased as the main event in his hometown. I can remember him calling me lots of nights and mornings before I'm up, asking me lots of questions about boxing and contracts and things like that. And now he's getting his opportunity to really go out there and show and possibly, you know, land something big. So I'm happy for him for this opportunity to be a headliner in his own city. Everybody knows who Banks is. And not just Banks, but Demetrius Banks, because there's another Banks in town. But everybody knows who Demetrius Banks is.
All right. See, that's why we give it to him. He sells it better, and he knows it and stuff.
The other
like
one
it.
Is Comerica Banks. That's the other Banks in town.
I like that. Barnes, tell us a little bit about being in the ring, sparring with him, stuff that you like about him as a fighter. We're going to give everybody the inside background.
I like Coronas.
So anyway, I have no idea what he's referencing for that. But
it's a beer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? You're right. You know, okay, cool.
He knows what Coronas is. He takes more vacations than anyone in this
room.
That's
true.
Anthony
yeah.
Barnes knows what Coronas is.
Yeah, I've served them to my family. I don't
for every
them.
One fight Barnes has, he takes four vacations down to Cancun.
Don't we all? No? Okay.
No, actually, I've won, never boxed, and two, never been to Cancun. So.
Okay. Well, either way, Demetrius Banks, what's there to say about him? There's a lot. I mean, he's a hard puncher. You know, he's a good thinker. You know, he's a lot of amateur experience. You know, fought a lot of top guys. I mean, I don't know. I know him so well. It's so hard to explain. You know, me and him did a lot of rounds together over the years. You know, then national.
Don't tell him
together.
About when we had to share a bed.
Yeah, you know, listen, that's what I'm saying. We go.
No,
know,
that's the story we want to hear.
We have been through everything. You know what I mean? So,
well, like everything?
Well, not everything.
Like everything?
No, this is.
Brokeback style.
See,
no.
Wow.
No, no,
whoa.
No.
Whoa.
No,
is that what that was?
No.
Like y'all was broke back in the day style. Like
okay.
Yeah, broke back. Sure. Nothing yeah. broke back?
Yeah. No, we were actually going
You're
up to.
You're thinking of bareback.
We're
different.
Either coming up or coming back home.
Are we still talking about
Traverse City.
Shared a bed
Traverse City. Traverse City.
Oh, you shared a bed in Traverse City
for the U.S. Championships or states, and we went to my grandparents' house. We shared a bed
and a few tender moments.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow!
Wow!
Was it cold? Cold?
No, they
it was cold.
They cuddled up real close, and everything was fine.
Listen, I was the big spoon.
No, right? That's the only tender moments. shooting a couple guns.
Yeah, right. No, yeah. So me and him go way back too, and I say that a lot with everyone we talk to on the show. But like, you know, me and him have been through a lot together. You know, so you know, I look up to him as a person. He's a good person to talk to. You know, he has a lot of knowledge. You know, so you know, yeah. You know,
all right. And since we're playing Jimmy, say one nice thing about Rochelle.
No,
she's very nice.
Well, there
wow.
you go.
Okay,
all right. Sweet. Cool. I'm sorry. I'm trying to write a tweet here, but it's not going
Something's not going
just
right.
Use your words.
Did we have a winner yet?
No.
Oh, okay. He's trying to do
Jimmy's
the tweet.
Setting it up.
So well, you're well, made
Demetrius,
of it.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Let's hear it straight from the horse's
Thank
mouth.
Thank you, because he can talk.
No.
This man
meant.
Can talk. Don't let him fool you.
All right. In, well, all right, first, in 500 words or less, go.
Well, first off, my name is Demetrius Banks. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. Started boxing in 2008. And, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, a good athlete, fighter, or whatnot. I played football with football background. But I'm really excited, kind of nervous, you know, first time on the radio. But I'm excited about the opportunity and looking forward to handling my business at the Detroit Brawl as the main event. First time and just ready to roll.
How many fights have you had?
I'm 6-0 right now.
Okay, so 6-0 and you're worried about being on the radio.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, huh?
All right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
I mean, if we can all do it, it's not that difficult.
No,
it's
not a problem. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your opponent and what you know about him. From Puerto Rico, Emilio Salas. What do you know about him, and what do you, can you expect to at the main event?
As far as I know, he's southpaw, kind of tall, 6'3", so he got about 3 inches on me. Good record. He won 5 straight fights, so he's on a good win streak, and he come to fight. He signed with the promoter, so he's definitely coming to win, so it should be a great event.
And you're an orthodox fighter?
Yes, sir.
Sugar, besides the everyone stepping on everybody's foot, that occasionally happens when a southpaw goes against orthodox, tell us a little bit about some of the problems that an orthodox fighter has with southpaw, and likewise with the southpaw with orthodox.
The problem that orthodox have with southpaws sometimes is the coaches are scary. No, being honest,
right.
I'm going to keep it real.
It's nothing.
The coaches are scary. You know, the fighter doesn't even know that there should be a big difference between a southpaw and a right-handed fighter. I mean, if you have your proper balance and your proper hand positioning, you shouldn't have a problem. But some coaches feel like, oh, you should step around this way. You should do this, only throw right hands. Why can a southpaw jab you, but you can't jab a southpaw? What's the difference? I don't know, but that's what people are taught. So, yeah, there's no real big difference between southpaw and right-handed fighters. You just have to throw the punches. If you have good balance and the proper hand position and you're throwing your punches properly, then you shouldn't have a problem.
I second that motion.
All right.
So you think it's something that is just made too much of a big deal about?
I do. I think it's made too much of a big deal. Like I said before, some coaches are scary, you know, and sometimes if a scary coach works with a fighter, the fighter becomes scary. I mean, you're only going to be as good as who you taught or, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You're going to start to gravitate toward the energies that he has or she has if it's a female trainer. See, I'm not being biased for women or men. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to be a strong fighter. You need a strong coach. You can have a strong fighter and have a weak coach, and it's going to have some kind of effect on that fighter. I mean, simple as that.
Let's talk a little bit, though, Sugar, about the problem that I see from my naked eye and other people see is that the lead foots are going to often touch. Is there anything you can do about that, or just because they're lining up that way, it's going to happen and you just fight through that?
From my knowledge and from my experience, I've sparred numerous softballs before, and I didn't mind the softball having his foot on the outside of mine. It put him a lot closer to my right hand.
So you use it as an advantage.
Yeah, I take it either way. I take it with his foot on the outside or his foot on the inside. It didn't matter. I learned both.
Nope. Demetrius, have you fought many southpaws?
I actually sparred many world champion, world class southpaws. So it's not a problem. Andy Lee, Adonis Stevenson, Chad Dawson. There's a few names like that have been on that level. So. It's not going to be a problem boxing against another softball.
Now, Barnes, left-handed guy who fights orthodox, but you have been known to switch to southpaw.
Yeah,
I mean, you got a little bit of insight here. I mean, the stuff I'm bringing up, Sugar says it's no big deal. What do you think?
No, it's not a big deal, and especially for someone like Banks, it's definitely not, or myself. You know, we're around southpaws all the time. You know, in the past and present still. So,
DeAndre White.
LeAndre White. I mean, for real, though. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we've been a lot of fighters, world-class left-hand fighters. So to step in, you know, for Demetrius not taking away from the guy he's fighting, But if, you know, the guy does have one loss and a draw, you know, he is beatable. He's human, you know, so he might be on like five fight winning streak. But, you know, Banks is 6-0. So he's on a, you know,
six fight.
You know what I mean? Like no losses. So
relatively the same amount of professional ring experience as any 5-1-1, I believe, your opponent. Right.
Right.
So about the same ring experience and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Now, being a Detroit main event, you feel like you got to put on a little bit of show for people to get people interested, or are you just going in there taking care of business?
I mean, I'm always a showman when I'm doing my job, but I'm not trying to do anything extra. I'm just handle my business and celebrate after the win.
Can you do the Anthony Jarrell backflip, or is that even encouraged? Can
I'm
you do
not
that?
Going to try that.
You're not going to try that?
I'm not going
to try that. Does Jarrell, I mean, does that make you happy, Sugar, when he's doing the backflip? Didn't they, Ozzy Smith used to get fined by the St. Louis Cardinals all the time. Did you know that when he'd backflip off the, he was a shortstop for the, and he'd do it, and because he could get injured doing a backflip, they'd fine him every time he would do it.
Wow, he really didn't give a fuck, did he?
No, he's Ozzy Smith.
He can afford it.
He did every time.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, superstitions or, like rituals, like, that you have to follow before, like, after a fight?
Not that I could think of offhand, like, superstitions. I feel like we train too hard for luck, you know, so this is just about going out there and handle your business. Luck is for the lottery, something you can't control, and I'm in total control when I'm in the ring.
He's scaring the shit out of me the way he's looking at me. I'm just going to be honest with you.
You want to fight Marvin after you beat him?
Like, I didn't do nothing.
How much
come
you
on. It's going to have to be a lot if you want me to fight him, I'll tell you that. $15 million, that's what it's going to take.
Describe a fighter that you think you look like that people might know on a national level.
Look like?
Well, not look like a person, like, but like out
style,
there.
Your style.
My style?
Yeah.
I couldn't say offhand. I would really
he looks like
Anthony
Demetrius
Hill,
Banks.
He'll,
that's
he'll
what
say
he looks
that.
Like.
He has his own style. He really does. You know, he does some things. You know, that Adonis does, sitting back. You know, and getting a nice range and everything like that with his jab, partially because he works with Adonis and he learns from that stuff.
Exactly. Well, I'm gonna say, yeah, I do have a style. I'm like Bruce Lee, able to assume all forms like water.
Enter the dragon.
Whichever one.
Be like water.
Like water, yeah. My friend.
We just started watching Bruce Lee films again. They're awesome, man.
They are
really
awesome.
Freaking phenomenal. We should have Bruce Lee film night somewhere.
He thinks well under pressure, you know, so he adapts pretty easily, you know, to all different styles.
Yeah, and then talking about this main event, this is something that Salido Pro, you weren't originally the main event. You were a co-main event. And then how excited were you when you found out that you are the main event when the other fight got bumped?
I guess I... Not as excited as I should be, I guess. I mean, it's like another day in the office. I'm just ready to go take care of business, like I say, again. And after, I guess I would think about that afterwards, but I'm not going to let the pressure or anything get to me. I'm just focused on getting rid of my opponent.
Now, when did you realize you wanted to be a pro boxer? When in your life that you were exposed to it and you're like, this is the path that I want to take?
Honestly, when I was about 14 years old, because Crunk Boxing Gym, the original Crunk Gym, is in my neighborhood. That's my neighborhood recreation.
5555 McGraw.
And I was used to play basketball on the basketball recreational team there. And because my high school team sucked, but I played football in high school. Basketball season, I played for the rec center. And after practice or hooping every day, I would go down in the basement and just, you know, sit around. I talked to Logan. He always give me a registration form to fill out, you know, to start boxing. I just never got to it, but I always knew once I was able to put the football down, I would, you know, start boxing. So 2008, I walked in the boxing gym.
Wait, whoa. He brought back some old memories. So did you ever see me in the gym back then?
Yeah, I have. I've seen everybody.
You never
in the gym.
Spoke to me, nothing like that? Like,
I mean, I didn't really speak to too many people. I just came as a spectator and trying to beat the heat.
So you were on the sideline just sweating.
Exactly. Like 110 degrees.
And when did you know that you were going to put the football down? Was it something that the love for boxing outweighed, or you were more talented in boxing?
Not at all. It's honestly, football, like college, and I guess what kept me in school and passing classes was my love for football, but it just got to a point where things got kind of overwhelming, and I just, you know, let it go.
Yeah, God, I can't think of his name. The guy from Michigan State football, Seth Mitchell.
Oh, wow. He can't fight.
Yeah, well, exactly, but...
You're wearing Michigan State green.
Yeah, you are wearing Michigan State colors it's over there, gift. By the way. But Seth Mitchell was probably the most recent football player that switched over from Michigan State.
So let me ask Successful an intelligent question real quick.
Yeah, go for
Nobody
it.
Nobody ever asked this. So, I mean, okay, you play football. What position did you play? People want to know.
In college, I played strong safety. But in high school, I played... You know, we only had like 19 players, city championship
Ooh.
Team.
Ooh.
But
y'all were doing
I played,
doing
I played, Iron Man football. I played some of everything: receiver, kick return. I returned the kicks, punts, receiver, second string quarterback, wherever coach put me. Like he ran us to death, Jeez. So we always was never get tired. You know.
Did you ever knock somebody out like in football, like you do in boxing?
Plenty of time.
More in football or more in boxing?
Yeah, but they changed those rules now. No helmet to helmet contact. But
more in football or more in boxing?
Boxing now, more in boxing.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
You know? See, safeties in football, man. They just, you know, they're the hammer, and those receivers are the nail, man. I mean, you're waiting for them to come across the middle, and just waiting for that moment where they get past that corner.
Yes, sir.
Any draw to play football again?
For me?
Yeah.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
I'm glad I found boxing.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson.
So I don't have to go in the high end when this football season come around, and people say, "What happened, man? You was thinking I was going to make it to the NFL, but."
Megatron retired. What about you, man?
Yeah, there you go.
There's a spot to be filled.
Yeah, he got about 6 inches on me. I can't feel his spot. Feel his shoes.
Well, it's cool. It's cool we have you here because in football, concussions are just it's everything anyone can talk about. The NFL can't get around it. There was even a movie with Will Smith, Concussion.
Right.
You've been a pro boxer before. Have you seen stars more, like meaning rung your bell? More at football or in boxing since you've started?
Definitely in boxing, but self-inflicted.
Okay, do you explain?
I get a rush. I'm like, it becomes a rush to make that contact. Like, I can't really explain it, but I just love to hit, you know. So the boxing, the punches is not, it don't faze me at all. Like, I guess because of so many head-to-head collisions in football, it's like the boxing is nothing. The punch is nothing.
Now, I do have to verify. I've seen Banks get hit with a pretty good shot, and he'd be like, come on, come on. Yeah, but come on.
And is that like the football toughness, or is that?
I just guess it's just from where I come, my background, period.
Okay, well, let's take the question a step further here really quick. Jimmy wants me to read something here in a second, but I will. 1 second. Do you have any kids currently?
Yes, sir.
All right. Are they? Would you allow them to play football, or would you allow them to box before with the or safety either. Concerns? Or yeah. either. You want them to not do both?
Well, my son Jordan, he's in third grade. He's playing basketball right now, and I'm kind of happy that's what he chose so far. But I wanted to start my kids off in soccer for agility purposes or whatnot. But as far as boxing, no, I wouldn't encourage them to do it, but I would not allow them to do it if they wanted to.
Okay, why wouldn't you want them to? What's the reason why? Because if it goes with the concussion, soccer is proven to be just as bad.
Whoa. Actually, it's a little bit worse. Yeah. Because of the amount of time that they had the ball and stuff like that, it's actually...
Yeah, they're faking it. You know how they try to
They've
draw,
actually
they
found a bigger correlation between stuff. Concussions and soccer than any other sport.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of that. I was more thinking about the constant running.
It looks...
The cardio.
You just don't
exactly.
hear.
No, I mean, that's good.
You
but
don't hear about it as much.
You don't hear about it as
because
much.
We're not a exactly. big soccer right. country. Right.
How bad is it in baseball?
Well, but
minimal.
But
actually,
at the end of the day,
life choices. Right. Now.
At the end of the day, you're playing baseball, which I would say is worse.
He hates baseball.
Baseball is terrible.
Okay, but
to watch. It's fun to play though. It's
high fastball to the inside.
Oh yeah.
But you don't have
lights out.
You don't have retired soccer players committing suicide because they can't function like you do NFL players right now. I mean, David Beckham, Pele, these people that have played it their whole life, they walk around and talk. I there might be studies about it, but soccer is way safer than football. Let's be honest, concussion-wise. Easily. You're trying to say an offensive
lineman. Yeah.
Right. You might get one or two good headers if you're a soccer player a game. But you're talking an offensive line, defensive lineman who might line up in what is that, like 3 yards in between where they line up and go every play? The concussion's got
to
be – I don't
I
care what stat.
I just wanted to know if that's his reasoning for not wanting
to
do boxing.
I'm actually interested to know.
I don't want – I just – don't want to see my kids. I don't know how I'll be able to handle seeing them taking punches. Yeah. So, and I can't control that. So, and the reason why I box is to create opportunity, better opportunities for my children. So I wouldn't want them to follow my footsteps. I want them to be above where I'm at.
I can understand what he's saying when it comes to, like, you know, seeing your kids like that. Not because I have kids, but I see how my dad reacts when I fight. Oh. And my dad acts absolutely just off the wall. You know, he's walking back and forth, super nervous. He yeah. can't control himself. He's sweating. He has, like, three different shirts he has to change in and out of. And, like, we just walk into the arena. So, you know, like, by the time the fight comes, you know, he's just done. He's over with. So,
so look, everybody look at Barnes right now. He just turned another shade of red from just talking about that. So yeah. his dad must really be stressing. Because he's true. Feeling it right now.
It's true. He's probably listening right now like, man, he told everybody.
Now, Sugar, you treat your fighters like family. I mean, all your fighters are family. How do you get past that as a trainer, what they're talking about? Like, they don't want to see their kids. You obviously don't want to see your fighters get hurt. Is it just something that being around the fight game that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to let them out there and they're going to get hit.
No, I teach them not to get hit.
But there's still the risk of getting hit.
Yeah, but they're taught not to get hit.
You're just going to leave it
my instructions. We learn things in the gym so that they don't have to happen in a fight.
As long as we listen, we're good. You know, as long as we listen and we're learning, we're fine.
I don't worry about my fighters. You know, amateur, professional. I mean, I match any fighter to win. I mean, even amateur. If I put you in the A class and you're or open class, I expect you to win the whole thing. I don't put you in the distance like, oh, we're going to see how he does. I expect him to win. So I don't have that kind of fear.
So
they can handle me in the gym sometimes, and they should be able to handle anybody else.
So
I'm a slick mother. So,
back to the soccer football. Recent studies show that soccer has surpassed football, said neurologist Peter A. Puzio from Augusta Health Neurology. As soccer grows in popularity, so does the incidence of concussion. There's not a perfect number because it all depends on the severity of each one. But there's a cumulative right. effect of concussions. One is bad, but it depends on the severity of the concussion. So it sounds to me like this study is saying that you see concussions more often in soccer, like per capita.
Correct. And the reason for that is in boxing and or any other combat sport, and even in football, the impact is much greater. So you're going to notice the concussion a lot faster, but because of the constant headers that soccer players take, they don't notice it right away, and it becomes accumulative.
At boxing as well.
Exactly, exactly. But the
don't
other thing
down,
is,
don't bring us down, Banks. Don't bring us down.
But the other thing exactly. is, in boxing, your body has a defense mechanism. If you get hit hard enough, your body will shut down, which is when you get knocked out. That doesn't happen in soccer. You get that repetitive banging motion.
I wonder if that's actually true, the whole study, if it's just during competition, because that might be true. You know, I mean, you do have, you know, headgear on, and you might get a concussion in the gym. You know, soccer players only go 3 days a week, you know, most of the time, right? Or depending if it's professional or not. And you have, you know, amateur boxers that are in the gym 6 days a week, every week.
Right.
Boxing. Year round.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is it's you're going to notice the damage faster in a boxer than you will in a soccer player, so it goes unnoticed for a lot longer, and then it becomes cumulative. Thank you. Damage that you're not going to notice until it's too late.
I wonder.
I'm leaning on Banks for everything here because it comes with the experience and stuff. My personal opinion is just that football, you got to be tough for the coach, and so you know Monday through Friday, if you're playing on Saturday. You're, you know, Monday through Wednesday, you're already getting your head wrong before even a game. Where I think boxing, there's some layoff.
I have some surprising news.
Oh my gosh.
A new study of 5 years worth of concussion data from the NCAA sports reveals that men's wrestling is the sport with the highest rate of sports related concussion.
You see their ears?
But this says men's football remains on top in terms of sheer number of athletes who experience it. This is from October of 2015.
Oh, that's
wow.
Late. That's a couple months late. We need some more updates.
Lacrosse, ice hockey, soccer, and others are up there as well. But
Wrestling is the top one.
I believe it, though.
You got anything from April 2016?
Hold on, we'll find something.
We're being joined by Demetrius Banks, who's fighting on the 14th of this month at the Detroit Brawl, which is happening at Masonic Temple. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Camp's been going pretty well for you. Talk a little bit about the growing experience of your first few fights. Anthony's in the same situation to that next tier of fights where you're growing. What have you learned in those next few fights?
Is he like the boxer whisperer over there?
Say it again.
You get distracted by Sugar. Sugar, you can ask. Go for it.
It's not for me to ask an expensive question.
I'm listening, though. Well, as far as experience, I guess being in the ring, I mean, you're constantly learning every day, you know. It's always something new that you could pick up on or work on or you notice. So
let me stop you there. I'm just sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry for myself.
I got
you. So what did you learn today?
Be on time for your radio interview.
What did I learn in the gym?
Yeah, what did you learn today in the gym?
You got to give me some time.
You got trainers and handlers that handle you. So what did you learn in the gym today?
I need time. It still happened. Everything happened. I didn't eat yet today. I didn't eat. That's my...
Sugar, really quickly a question. Based off what I was saying, that next tier of fights, like where a fighter's 5-0, typically media will say that this boxer's been around enough that he knows enough tricks to continue on. What are they talking about in that experience that it's going to buy him a couple rounds or they know enough?
It's just called experience as a professional. Sometimes you put guys in there who have a very high extensive amateur background, and just I'm kind of dipping into matchmaking at some point, because if you have a top rated amateur and then he turns professional and you fight him, you have him fighting guys that have maybe like a 0-2, and his next fight may be 0-6, and then the next guy might be like 2-12. I mean, you start to get you want to put your fighters in there with guys with experience so they can learn and grow as a professional. Amateur boxing and professional boxing are two differences. Professional boxing is a lot of things that goes on that are not called and you have to deal with by yourself and not with the referee. So when you're saying putting a guy with 5 fights and he has the experience, you're looking at him growing and developing as a professional fighter searching for a world championship. And that's the big difference. These fights have to be meaningful for the fighter to grow and to be on a world championship level. Am I making myself clear?
No, it's a great answer. I love it. We did have a question.
I'm sorry, because I want to reach out and touch everybody. So you want to be able to gain the experience as if you're a star fighter. You know, you're on the front line at Battlestar Galactica. You're fighting. You return.
No, you missed a beautiful chance. You said Starfighter, like the last Starfighter.
Yeah,
right there.
But I was still going. I'm trying to reach out to everybody. You really are. I have you. I still have you. Still, I can.
No, you lost me when you didn't say Starfighter.
I said it.
You didn't say last Starfighter.
Demetrius Banks
lost me.
Back to Rochelle, you knew what I meant.
You went to Battlestar Galactica, and then I was like, he missed his chance.
So the online question.
Missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah. The online question just had to do really quickly, and I think I'm going to give this question to Anthony Barnes because. Oh.
Well, no, it was directed for Demetrius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The main event.
So Rick Pratt, who listens to our show, big fan. Also, Rick won the tickets. His question was for you, Demetrius. What are your thoughts on Canelo versus Khan? And do you think Canelo will take the mandatory Triple G fight?
Well, first off, how you doing, Rick? And
like he's been doing this for years.
Canelo, Khan. You know, Khan, it depends on what Khan shows up to the ring. Because we seen Khan, you know, perform well. And we seen him look god-awful, you know, so you can't underestimate him and just assume Canelo will knock him out. But, yeah, I will be willing to bet that he may knock him out. But I wouldn't be shocked if Khan put up
a good fight.
And it might be a closer fight than what a lot of people think.
Okay. And what about the mandatory Triple G fight? Do you think Canelo's going to take it?
I guess that would be a catch weight.
Okay.
Yeah, because Canelo, he's still fighting, what, 54, 47?
The Canelo middleweight is 155.
Yeah, and Triple G fights at 160.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys rehydrate, come in much bigger. So I don't know. I mean, he took the Floyd fight.
Right.
So why not fight Triple G, right?
Because it's dangerous.
Demetrius Banks, where can people find you if they want to follow your career? You got a fan page out there or Twitter, anything?
Well, I'm on Instagram. And
that works. Where can they find you on Instagram?
DBanks313.
Okay.
I also have Facebook. It's under my government name, Demetrius Banks. No nicknames or anything like that.
Since we're on the predictions, who are you taking in the rematch between Batman and Superman?
Wow. I'm always going with Superman.
Well, actually, no. Actually, we gotta switch it up now that it comes out this weekend. Who you take? Team Captain America or Team Iron Man?
That's right.
Yeah.
We have to go with Iron Man.
All right.
That's not a bad bet.
That's not a bad bet. I am a former soldier, so I always got to go with Captain America.
I understand.
Well. Yeah.
Also, really big news, and he might get mad that I mention it, but Premier Boxing Champions broke this story.
Ooh.
Although
By the way, you wanted to know, Sugar, from April 7th, of 2016, the number one sport with the most amount of traumatic brain injuries is horseback riding.
That's true. Wow.
Yeah.
That's what we want to know.
We are so safe.
If you don't, you're laughing, but hey.
If you don't believe me, ask Christopher Reed.
No, I knew you were going to go there.
I'm going to encourage my kids to go to school to be a lawyer.
Speaking of Superman. That's actually not a bad idea.
How many concussions do they have?
It's 85% of all accidents with horseback riders are traumatic brain injuries.
He was asking about how many concussions the lawyers get.
The
answer is not many, but they make great money when they sue for other people getting them.
Right. Yes.
So there you go.
Winning.
Wait. Lawyers' concussions may not be reported as often as football and soccer and horseback riding.
That's a fact.
You know, he may be right because you don't want to be
lawyers do an awful lot of drinking.
Well, the thing is, because of regulations, if you're in a lawsuit and you get a concussion, you can't practice law for another month. And so then you lose all that revenue from all these cases that you can't take.
We're closing the show here, though. We got to get to this really quick. Javen Sugarhill is now officially changed his name to Javen Sugarhill Stewart.
Yes.
So congratulations. What a way to honor your uncle who passed away October 2012. Your name's official. You showed me the credit card. You showed me the ID. That's absolutely great.
Wasn't aware of that.
Nice. So,
well, that's why you're hitting it now on breaking news.
It's not breaking news. Oh, yeah. First off, he told Premier Boxing Champions before me, apparently.
I did, or what? What did I tell you?
Anthony did, not the Anthony in the room.
No, but Anthony Durrell did, yes.
He couldn't hold it.
But
that's good news.
But since it's already out there, we're just going to say congratulations on that. So that's really cool.
Yes.
I'm going to say thank you for welcoming me and congratulating me.
Sugarhill out. All right, we'll see everybody next Tuesday. Best of luck, Demetrius, on your fight. Thanks to all our guests.
Handle my business.
He doesn't need luck.
Yeah.
Handle your business.
Handle your business.
Yes, sir.
Take care of business. We want to thank Aaron Pryor Jr., Mike Jimenez, and Anthony Barnes for setting up all these interviews today. Thank you very much for producing the show, Anthony. All right, take care, everybody.
Too old for this shit.
This is a previously recorded episode.